You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, if our next guest had his way, the state of Alaska would give some serious attention to the aquaculture and mariculture industries. Joel Marcus believes that there is untapped potential to grow new markets. He's an associate professor of applied fisheries at the University of Alaska Southeast, based in Sitka, and he is tonight's presenter at the university's Egan Lecture Series, which you can watch online. But Joel is here now to give us a preview of his talk. Thank you for being here. And for starters, can you give us a quick explanation of the difference between aquaculture and mariculture?
Yeah. And so aquaculture, I would say, is a more broad term. It is really rearing any type of aquatic organism. Mariculture is a little bit more specific, and that's the cultivation of marine organisms for food. And so we're specifically focused on marine organisms, and these are not fish, ultimately. And so mariculture in Alaska typically focuses on shellfish and kelp, but there are some other species that are focused on as well. But generally speaking, in Alaska, when people talk about aquaculture, they're referring to the state's salmon enhancement program. And so essentially, before statehood, the state saw pretty drastic declines in our salmon returns. And so in the early 70s, we developed a salmon enhancement program where we take adult salmon, we spawn those fish, and then we basically help their offspring get through the most critical stages of their life so that they're not preyed upon by other species. And then we release them into the ocean. And hopefully in 2 to 5 years, they come back and we're able to capture those salmon and eat them as food. Just kind of, I guess, for a ballpark, the salmon enhancement program in the state of Alaska last year, on average, we released about 1.8 billion juvenile salmon into the North Pacific. Last year, which was actually a slightly lower return year, we saw about 34 million adult salmon return to the state, which had a rough economic value of about $70 million. And so that's, you know, money that is coming directly back into the state and captured through commercial fishermen and then sold in markets, you know, all over the country and all over the world.
In Alaska, you hear a lot about the importance that the fish be totally wild, that wildness is our brand. You hear a lot of opposition from fishermen to farm salmon. And then also some of these new developments, this gene splicing, where you can take a halibut and cross it with a salmon and get a fish that grows faster. They're called Frankenfish. But do you think that aquaculture kind of gets a bad rap from all of these other things that have nothing to do with aquaculture?
I think that it's people not necessarily understanding the state's salmon enhancement program and how it works and the safeguards that are associated with those programs and the fact that none of those practices take place in Alaska. We don't farm fish in the state. I think for the most part, it's a lack of understanding of what actually happens with aquaculture in the state of Alaska.
So what do you think is the potential for aquaculture to enhance our fisheries? And to what extent, and would you put a dollar value on that?
One of the things we currently have our salmon enhancement program, but one of the potential growth sectors in Alaska is the mariculture industry. And so we've got what I would consider to be a burgeoning mariculture industry. And mariculture is essentially cultivating organisms in the ocean for food that are not salmon, essentially, or not fin fish. And so these are in Alaska, these are things like our shellfish, oysters, mussels, and gooey ducks, or a variety of different kelp species. And I think that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity in the state and the development of this mariculture industry.
Well, you have a lot of people farming kelp right now. And in fact, on Kodiak Island, there are even processors that are asking for permits to raise kelp. What's the status of that in Alaska?
Well, in Alaska currently, there's a variety of different seaweed or kelp species that are being reared currently. I think the average yield on those is in excess of about 100,000 pounds, which in the grand scheme of things probably isn't that much. And so I think that there's a huge capacity for Alaska to increase the amount of kelp production that is taking place in Kodiak and in various other places around Southeast, be it South Central or Southeast. seaweed, along with some of these other shellfish, does provide a huge opportunity for a lot of different Alaskans to get into this new mariculture industry.
Do people feel that there could be some environmental risks with this, that you grow too many different things, that you're taking away nutrients from other species?
I think one of the interesting things about a lot of the species that are cultivated for mariculture is that they're either collected from extremely local regions. And so the potential for them to do harm to those regions is extremely low. And a lot of the species that are cultivated actually have pretty large environmental benefits. Things like all the shellfish or bivalves that are cultivated, they're filtering the water. And so they're pulling things out of the water and actually filtering it. All the different kelps that are processed do the same thing. They're drawing up nutrients, they're sequestering carbon, things from CO2 emissions. And so there's a lot of actual environmental benefits to a lot of the species that are currently being reared in Alaska and the species that will be raised in the future.
So what are the barriers to mariculture getting a foothold right now?
I think there's a number of barriers. The interest is growing. There needs to be a market presence so that people that are actually raising these seafood products can actually sell them. There's got to be processing capacity. And so fishermen or individuals involved in the mariculture industry need to have a way to actually process the products into either food or even some of these other products. You know, we can turn things like some of the kelp species into supplements or into fertilizers. And so there's a number of different barriers out there, but there's a whole bunch of people in Alaska that are interested in overcoming a lot of these barriers. And the university and the state as a whole is looking at ways to try and solve some of these problems.
That's part of why you were invited to speak at the Egan Lecture, is to explain the role that the university hopes to play in mariculture.
Yeah. Mariculture is kind of an interesting example when you look at the university, because all three major campuses, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the University of Alaska Anchorage, and the University of Alaska Southeast, have a role to play in the mariculture industry, whether it's research. The College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences has a very large graduate program where they do top-notch research on things, whether it's training through Alaska Sea Grant, teaching some of the different current fishermen or folks involved in mariculture new techniques or skills, or whether it's workforce development through the University of Alaska Southeast and folks in our fisheries program teaching students the skills necessary to enter into this new emerging industry.
So what kind of skills would they need?
Well, in mariculture, it's a variety of different skills. A little bit of a science background. They need to understand oceanography and how water chemistry and ocean conditions change. They need to do simple things like drive boats and tie knots. And so our program has a curriculum that kind of focuses on broadly on a number of those different aspects, at the same time teaching students how to actually spawn and grow and rear some of these different seafood products successfully.
Wow. Do you think that this is a new frontier for Alaska mariculture?
I think it is. I think when you look at other portions of the world, they have invested pretty heavily in mariculture. And I think given our vast coastline and our pristine waters, I think that we've got an opportunity to really do something that not only creates clean, delicious food, but also helps the environment at the same time. And so I think there's a lot of the people that see value in that. And I think that there's an economic value to be had there as well.
Well, one of the things, though, you hear from people that are in the mariculture business, growing kelp and also oyster farms and things like that, is that there is no capacity to process things locally, that there's sending things out. And it's kind of the same dynamic that Alaska experiences with its other fisheries, that the value is added to the product outside of Alaska, so there aren't the jobs. So how do you think that the universities could help that, to have more processing capacity?
Well, I think the university has a role to play in some of the research that goes into the types of seafood products that we create and the processing techniques that we use in processing these different products. But then the hope is that as some of those new skills and techniques are developed, that the industry then adopts those and works with the fishermen and the folks that are involved in the actual industry to help ramp up that capacity so that we can solve one of those many challenges to the industry.
Right. What will it take to avoid the same dynamic that we have seen with the other fisheries where basically we're just providing the product, the raw product, and it goes out of state to have its value added?
I think it takes creative ideas. You know, you look at some of the products that are being produced currently around the state from some of the mariculture organisms that are collected. There are people doing really creative things and creating unique products that are catching people's eyes, and they're making money doing it. And so I think a continued focus on some of those things, whether it's through seafood processing capacity, but even things like developing business models to help people market some of these products. I think all of those things are going to be integral parts in the development of this industry.
So what do you see for Southeast Alaska? Do you think there's kind of an economy of scale in Southeast Alaska geographically that would lend itself very well to mariculture?
Personally, living in Southeast Alaska, I may be a little bit biased, but I do. I think that a lot of our communities, despite being separate, are fairly well connected. We all kind of share similar environments and similar habitats. And frankly, we've got some conditions that really lend themselves to developing some of these mariculture products. We've got a little bit warmer water than folks do further up north. We get a little bit more sunlight than they do. And so there's a couple of things just kind of right off the bat that I think really set Southeast up in a good place for being a location where mariculture could really take off.
Plus, you would have people that would be able to share their expertise when they work within one region.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think our communities are pretty well connected already. And one thing that works well in this location, there's a good chance it may work fairly well in another location. And so they people can share those ideas and share some of those techniques for sure.
If people come away from your Egan lecture with one thing, one message, what would that be?
Oh, one message. I think it would be kind of an awareness of this emerging industry and the opportunity that exists there. And then just hopefully as people kind of work through their day-to-day lives, that they're a little bit more aware of kind of the potential that Alaska has to develop this industry into something that could mean good, exciting jobs for people, could mean delicious seafood products that are healthy and wholesome and that are helping to be environmentally friendly and maybe even tackle some of the challenges that we're facing with the climate also.
Well, mariculture requires some investment, but do you think that there is less investment there than, say, in fishing boats that go out in the ocean?
I guess it depends on what the products you are that you're trying to cultivate. You know, I'm sure there are some farmers out there that would say that it's a lot more expensive than just having a boat and going fishing, but I imagine it would be on par, you know, and I think some of the places where folks may leverage resources would be folks that are currently involved in commercial fishing operations that may have a boat that already has hydraulics, that has already a sense of the ocean and the sea and is comfortable driving and moving around and operating equipment. Those might be people that would get into this industry and benefit from it in the off season when they're not fishing for some of the other species that they typically target.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Joel Marcus, for giving us some insights into what could be the industry of tomorrow. So thanks very much for being here with us.
Great. Thanks, Rhonda. It was a pleasure.
Joel Marcus will take your questions at tonight's presentation, which will be live streamed via Zoom at 7. It is free, but you do have to sign up, and you can do that online. Just go to uas.alaska.edu/EganLecture/.